At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Can I ask you a question? What did you learn this year? What will you never do again? What will you do more of? What do you need to start, my friend? What do you need to stop? I'm asking you. I'm talking to you. This ain't for your best friend. This ain't for your brother. This ain't for your sister. I'm talking to you. What do you need to do for you to get better? How are you getting better? Getting better. How are you getting better? Getting is an action word. So I'm going to ask you one more time. How are you getting better? In other words, what action are you working on? I mean, how much get do you have? If getting is an action word, we got to up the get. If life is a journey, who you are right now is just a point of reference. You must be in constant development. Who you are right now is not the final version of you. Every year you must get better. So your mentality might be average is okay, but okay ain't gonna get you promoted. Okay ain't gonna get you to the next level. Maybe you need to work on your work ethic. I mean, you gotta have a strategy to get better. How are you getting better? Just like fine wine, your value should always increase over time. But it don't happen naturally. You gotta be intentional about getting better. You got to understand your strengths. You gotta understand your weaknesses. Fine wine gets smoother over time. And the value is constantly increasing. If your value's not increasing, if people ain't trying to give you more money, something wrong, bro. Something wrong, sis. If people ain't trying to get you more money, we gotta work on better you. What does a $1 million person do that you refuse to do? That you won't do? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. You are in charge. You are in control. And we gotta begin with you getting better. If you want more, it's gotta be clear to you right now that you need to get better. You always talking about somebody else. I'm coming to you, my friend. I'm talking to you. It's just me and you. You need to get better. Stop talking about everybody else and what they need to do. What do you need to do? Every year, you must improve. You must improve. Why? Because your life will always be a reflection of you. Who you are will ultimately yield you a result. So the question is, if you don't like the result, you gotta go back to you. If you want a different result, you need to improve you. So if you wanna make more money, you must become somebody different. So for example, if you're a $30,000 person, it's okay. But you need to figure out how do you need to get better so you can become a $60,000 person. In other words, what does a $60,000 person do that I don't do right now? Insert your name. What is a $60,000 person doing that I don't do? What are they willing to do that I don't? You can become that $60,000 person, but you gotta change how you think. You gotta change how you operate. You need to change how you impact your environment. You need to change how you respond. If you ever want to get to six figures, you got to ask yourself the question, what does a $100,000 person do that I don't do? If you're going to get paid, if you're going to be a real boss, if you're going to get to the real money, you got to be courageous and ask yourself the question, what do I need to do to be a millionaire? How does a millionaire think? How does a millionaire respond? And what is my gap? What do I need to do to become a millionaire? There's money out here. There's even billionaires out here. What are they doing that you're not willing to do? Do. What are you working on right now? I'm not talking about next week. I'm not talking about next month. I'm not even talking about next year. Right now, what do you need to be working on? What is your strategy to get better? If you don't have a strategy, you're going to stay the same. My friend, what is your strategy to get better? What's that one thing? If you improve that one thing, it could benefit you tremendously. This one thing is a game changer. Is it your attitude? Really? Is it just your attitude, your outlook, your disposition, a smile on your face, being approachable? I mean, it's really hard for negative people to be positioned, right? I'm gonna be real with you. It's gonna be really hard for a person with a bad attitude to get into position, to get to that next level. You might be saying to me, Walter, that ain't true. I know people who got a bad attitude. Hear what I'm telling you. A few slide through the crack, but for the most part, they know somebody. For the most part, they got something else working on their behalf. If you don't have an incredible network, if you don't have a whole lot of people backing you up, let me tell you something. It's gonna be really hard for a person with a bad attitude to get into a position to get to that next level. Is it your attitude? Don't let that hold you back. You're in the people business.
I watch people give advice completely predicated on natural talent and DNA, and I'm like, look, like, I get it. Like, I can throw a football every day for 9 hours a day. I'm just not physically built to be competitive at the highest levels. So yeah, I do think, you know, if anybody watching right now, if there's anything they take away, it's like, look, like, you're gonna only be so pretty, you're only gonna be so smart, like, you, like, there's things that are gonna be natural, and there's things that you can actually control. I do believe, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong, I don't, but I do believe that work ethic is a taught behavior. It's something you do have more control over. So much of what I've always felt as an entrepreneur was a vulnerability of a school system is not the cliche stuff that you might see in my content, but just by nature, all of us spending the majority of our youth in a system that grades us every 90 days, and we pander to a subjective reality within that, really sets us up to eliminate our creativity and our curiosity, makes us subconsciously conform to the short term, and inherently makes us lack patience. The other thing I'm spending a lot of time on is how much we struggle with our relationship in time and with time. You know, we get sold so many things like life is short, which, you know, I think all of us at this point know, depending on the context that you look at a statement or a situation, it changes the altercation. But so many of the rules in society of when you're supposed to have your life figured out, get married, accomplish, is predicated on a world where people live to 45 years old. It's just the reality of it. So much of what we're affected by is how our grandparents were affected by their parents and grandparents, and those f***ers were dying at 40. Of course you should have your life figured out at 30 when you're dead at 47.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
But we haven't adjusted. You know, 1880 may seem a long time ago, but it's stunningly not. And when life expectancy is in the late 30s and early 40s, and now we're 75, 85, 90, 95, I just think that there's so much confusion in the system. And I just think that we need to have different conversations. Let me give you an example. A different conversation that we need in the business world, that's where I'll keep it, but it's clearly a societal statement, is I'm genuinely struggling why anybody should not be kind. I've watched in the business world for the last 20 years, people justify being cruel to the people that they're a manager of or their admins because they're stressed. I'm sorry I scolded you, you don't get it. The client had me in a bad day. We have completely accepted bad behavior off of, I'm really passionate about this. If you're a leader by nature, your job is to stop pressure at your level, not deploy more of it underneath you. I think that we need to just do better. And I think that I'm passionate at this point in my life to really start talking about the nuances that are very clear to me, that sustainable things are grounded in very good virtues, and that we have to start recognizing that soft skills will continue to dominate and gain momentum because hard skills are starting to be commoditized. The most insecure place I've ever been in was the fear of confrontation, which blows people's mind because on stage and public persona, it's candor is my strength. But in real life, I hated candor because my father was very aggressive with candor, but very negative. And I wasn't able to separate the vehicle he was deploying the candor in from the value of candor. So for 25 years of my career, I was anxious every time I decided somebody had to get fired. It completely put me into spirals. I would avoid it. It was always sloppy. It, to a T, every person that's ever been close to me in business that works for me or worked for me that doesn't love me is based on one thing, my inability to be candorous. And it's been a very big shift for me in the last 3-4 years. The new book is called 12 and a half. It's about 13 attributes, but I call it 12 and a half because I'm only halfway through my journey on kind candor. And I needed to create the word kind in front of candor to even begin to deploy candor. And it has led to an incredible amount of unhappiness in my life and career was my inability to be candorous, which is wild because my content is incredibly candorous because I'm not talking to anybody. I'm talking to everybody. But when it's Steve or Sally or Johnny or Nicole or Karen, it was very hard for me. And so now I do it.
You are gonna have to push. Push, push, because they said you can't do it. They said you don't have what it takes to make the investments. They said you don't have what it takes to lose the weight. They said you don't have what it takes to hang on to your marriage. Everybody has been counting out. Everybody has been doubted.
The underdog is not a person who doesn't feel pain, doubt, and fear. The underdog is a person that turns that pain, that doubt, that fear into their fuel. Your story is not your fortress. Your story is your fuel. If you came from a place where you had nothing, that's everything that you need. The underdog is like music to his ears. Tell me I'm not good enough. Tell me I'm not strong enough. Tell me I won't finish. There is this intrinsic emotion, this instinct. You have just awakened the lion in me. And so an underdog is just somebody who refused to live in the setback. It is a person who rebels against your reality. Your reality of me is that I'm not enough. Your reality of me is that I'm not qualified. Your reality of me is that I'm not quick enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not linear enough. This is your reality. My reality of me is that all I have is all I need. I'm coming after everything you said I couldn't have. If you've been an underdog in the weight room, if you've been an underdog in life, if you've been an underdog financially, I'm talking to that person who grew up without a father. I'm talking to that person who grew up without a mother. I'm talking to that person who didn't grow up with handouts. I'm talking to that person who maybe if you did grew up with a little bit of handouts, but maybe you were misunderstood and you were overlooked and you were undervalued and you were mishandled and misguided. I'm talking to that person that is acquainted with pain. I'm talking to that person that knows what it's like to come from nothing. And so you literally have nothing to lose. And the only thing that's in your hand is a dream. The only thing that's in your hand is I have what it takes to get to the top of that hill. Because I am not the wolf on the hill. I am the wolf climbing the hill. I have nothing to lose.
You have a fear of success. Some folks have a fear of failure. You have a fear of success. You are afraid. You are afraid to be successful. You've been broke so long that it's become a part of who you are. You've been in lack so long. You've been in poverty so long. You've not been able to go and splurge. You have not been able to go and enjoy life to its fullest. and you are afraid. You are afraid to be successful. You are afraid to succeed. Now there's another group. You're watching me. You're watching me. You are afraid. Afraid of what? You're afraid of failure. You're afraid of trying. You prefer to say, well, if I don't try, then I could always say that I could have done it if I wanted to do it. All right? And I challenge both groups. I challenge those of you who are afraid of success to give it a shot. All right? And I challenge those of you who are afraid of failure, just give it a shot. Just try. You will be shocked at what you can do.
And the underdog is an individual who refuses to live in the dark. They refuse to remain in obscurity. They refuse to live in stress and overwhelm and anxiety. They are somebody who is tired. Like when you come to the end of yourself, you got to get tired. Like you have to get tired.
Everybody wants a piece of the pie. Any facet of life, in every arena you walk in, there's pie. And the thing is that pie doesn't get any bigger. The pie never gets any bigger. It's the disciplined, desperate, dangerous mentality of an individual that says, I'm gonna push whoever I gotta push out of my way to get my piece of the pie. Those are the people that get the pie. Because the pie doesn't get any bigger and the pie does not pursue you. You have to go after it. So whatever it is that you're going after, whatever it is you feel as though you've been destined to do, is are you willing to push whoever, whatever out of your way to get your piece of the pie, to get your piece, because the pie's not getting any bigger.
What would your life look like if you weren't always afraid? What would your life look like if you weren't a scary cat? And professionally, if you weren't a scary cat in relationship, if you weren't a scary cat financially, right? If you weren't a scary cat in your dreams and in your mind, if you weren't always living in fear, how much more would you have?
While they're called the Federal Reserve Bank, they're not federal. It's not a federal entity. It says so on their website. They're not a reserve because they don't keep any cash reserves anywhere. And they're not a bank. You and I can't go there to deposit money. So what do? They control and oversee our money system in the United States. And one of the things that they're able to do is influence how much money is out there. They can print money and they can take money away. Well, when you print money, pieces of paper, without producing more wealth, what happens? The value of each individual dollar goes down. Because you can't just produce more wealth, you can't print more wealth, but you can print money. And so this money, this pieces of paper, then loses value. And we've been seeing this happen for a long time. Whenever you print more money, the value of each individual dollar goes down, which then in effect causes the price of things to go up. That's why $100 today cannot buy you what $100 could 20 years ago, and that's why $100 today can't buy you what $100 could 100 years ago. But what does that mean when we go back to the topic of, you know, the system that we were just talking about? Well, inflation, the whole purpose of it, because the Federal Reserve Bank doesn't want 0% inflation. If you listen to anything that they say that they have a target of 2% inflation. But why 2%? Why this random number? Why not 0%? Why do we want any inflation? Well, because it's their way of growing this system. See, inflation disproportionately benefits the financially educated and the wealthy, and inflation disproportionately hurts the financially uneducated and the poor. Because when you don't understand inflation, well, you're the one that's paying the price. If you leave your money in the bank and your bank is paying you 0.1% a year in interest, while inflation is 5, 6, 7% a year, you're losing value in the bank. Your savings are slowly losing value each and every day because you're saving your money. Now, this doesn't mean you shouldn't save any money. This means you have to know how to save your money strategically. That means save your money for an emergency, save your money for an investment, or save your money for a big purchase. But then beyond that, why are you putting cash aside? Well, it should be to invest. But now going back to that question of the system, right? What does inflation do? It grows the economic system. It encourages more spending, more dollars out there. And so who does that benefit? It benefits the economy. It benefits the investors who own a piece of the system. But it hurts the people. Because if you don't understand this, what happens? Oh, maybe you got a raise because of inflation. Great. People spend more money. Great. but now you're poorer today than you were a few years ago. Even though it might look like you have the same bank balance, even though you might have gotten a raise because the prices of everything around you have gone up faster than your income. And that's why today you have people struggling more than they were 50 years ago. 50 years ago in 1970 or early 1970s, you'd have one person going to work, the man of the house. And they would have one income. And the one income would allow a family to survive comfortably, have a nice home, have a nice car, and have a nice vacation. Today, you have the majority of households are two-income households, and people are struggling to buy homes. People are struggling to afford a car. People are struggling to have any sort of freedom to go on a vacation or really do anything, even though we have two-income households today as opposed to one-income households in the 1970s. So what's the difference? The value of the dollar is dropping. This grows the system. This benefits people who understand the system, the investors, the financially educated, but it comes at a price. And the price is at the expense of regular people. This is why now, when you understand this, you have to change the way you look at money and change the things that you do use with your money. Because if you're making money just to spend it, well, now you're making everybody else rich at the expense of your own wealth. What I'm saying is make yourself rich before you make everybody else rich. I don't want you to never have the nice things. I want you to have the nice car. I want you to go on the nice vacations. I want you to have the nice home, but I want you to be able to afford it first. And right now, the most important thing financially is to make yourself rich first. And ironically, the people that are looking rich are sacrificing their real richness. But if you want to actually become rich, well, you're not going to be looking rich when you're trying to become rich. Building wealth, it's a very simple formula. Spend less than what you make and invest the difference. Period. Now, if you want to achieve more wealth, you need to invest more money. How can you invest more money? You can spend less money or you can earn more money. It's as simple as that.
Well, I do everything backwards. I started with nothing like most people do. And I grew up over in Antioch, Tennessee. And I remember one time I used to ride my bicycle down to the local Quick Sack to, you know, to get an icy and to get a Snickers bar and, you know, just hang out and that kind of stuff. And I came in about 12 years old and I asked my dad, I said, Dad, I need some money. He said, you don't need money, you need a job. And I said, he said, what can you do to earn some money? I said, well, I guess I could cut some grass. Some of my buddies are doing that. And he said, good, get in the car. I went, why? So he took me down on Nolensville Road, true story, back in the day, little printer shop, and printed up 500 business cards that said Dave's Lawns. Came home, knocked on the closest 50 doors in the neighborhood, and thus a business was born. So I've always been in business. So when I got out of school, met my wife Sharon, we got started, we were broke, and I started buying and selling real estate, like you said in the introduction, and I got rich. All right. It was wild, man. I mean, it was very cool. You know, sometimes I hear these people say, all those rich people are miserable. Uh-uh. We were having fun, man. I mean, we were having a blast. But I did a lot of stupid things. I didn't do anything illegal or immoral, but I was young and too aggressive, and I tried to borrow my way into success. And those debts caught up with us. The banks got sold to another bank. The new guys looked down and said, there's a kid owes us $1 million. 26 years old, they called our notes. We spent the next 2.5 years of our life losing everything we owned.
Lesson number one, don't get rich with debt. Dave Ramsey is very open about how he and his wife were rich for a good part of their younger lives. The problem with how they got there, though, is Dave borrowed money to keep up with their wealthy lifestyle, which in turn caused them to lose everything they worked so hard to get.
There's not one biggest lesson, there's a bunch of them, but the one thing I think that I remember back when, you know, I was in school and a business major, and I was so go-get-em, goal-oriented, and I was going to do this by the time I was 30. And I kind of, you know, intellectually, I probably didn't think this, but maybe in my emotions, I kind of thought that the trajectory from success was from here, where I was, to there.
Right.
And it's never that. It's always this weird, you go around and around, you go up and under and back and forth. And then when you get up on the gleaming mountain of success, you figure out it's really not gleaming. It's actually a pile of garbage. It's all the stupid stuff you did. You just happen to be standing on it instead of laying under it. And so, you know, when I've met with people who have grown huge ministries you know, Franklin Graham over at Samaritan's Purse, Billy Graham's son, or you meet with even a Peyton Manning, you know, who's at the top of his game, or you go and you meet people who are, you know, big time successful in whatever industry or ministry they're in. They are people who have made a lot of mistakes. And so just be ready for all the mistakes and the pain that goes with it and the course correction that comes with it. And just don't quit then. The number one character quality probably of successful people is their perseverance. Right. And just don't quit.
Right.
You're going to do things and you look back and go, gee, it's like looking back at your high school pictures or something. You're kidding. How was I that stupid? How was that geeky? You know, it couldn't have happened to me. But, you know, you look back.
But we had hair.
Yeah, we had hair then.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, scary. But yeah, you know, and so be aware that mistakes are part of it. My friend John Maxwell, who writes a lot on leadership, has a great title to a book called Failing Forward. Lots of non-fatal errors. And, you know, the old saying, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. And just know that, okay, that I'm not going to ever do again. Set that one over here. That one I'm not ever going to do again. Set that one over here. And you pile those up, and eventually you stand on enough of those, and it's called wisdom.
Lesson number two, failure helps us get to the top. Everyone has faced failures at some point in our lives. The key to making sure that failure doesn't suffocate you or make you feel like a bad entrepreneur is to remember everyone in business has gone through it and survived. If you want to be a successful entrepreneur, you need to learn from those failures and use those lessons learned to make it to the top.
What I have discovered now 30 years later is that money makes you more of what you already are. It magnifies the good and exposes the bad brightly. If you have a temper and you get money, Lord, help the people around you. You will be a rageaholic tyrant. I mean, you will be out of control. If you are generous and give and you get money, you'll become what the world calls a philanthropist, and you will impact entire communities with the wealth that God allows you to manage. You become more of what you are.
Lesson number three. Money doesn't change you, it amplifies you. That old saying, money changes people, isn't entirely true. As Dave says here, money helps you become more of what you already are. It can help you ruin or change lives, but it isn't the money's choice on which way you will go. That choice is entirely up to you.
Passivity is not an option for a real leader. Your business and your team will be paralyzed if you're an indecisive leader. As a young leader, when I first started, I found myself in situations where I just didn't know what to do. Now, I'm a high DI on the DISC, which means I make decisions very quickly, and if it's the wrong decision, I'll just make another one. So I wasn't always indecisive, but I was insecure. I didn't know if I could pull this off. I didn't know if this decision's right. Now, there's very few times you know where the decision's right or wrong. But, and you know, these days after doing this for 20, 30 years now, I kind of know certain situations. And so it appears that my patience is running thin. That's not it at all. I just made the decision with a lot more confidence because I've already been there, done that, and I know what to do. Shut up, we're going. Boom. You seem to not think about that very much. Did you take all the things into consideration? Yeah, 25 years ago I did. So it's easier now. But when I first started, I didn't know what I was doing. I was scared. Every time you take a step, is it the right step? Am I going, you know, is this one going to sink? Am I going down here? Is there a problem? And it scares you to death. Indecision, truthfully, in my case and in yours, when I was indecisive in those early days or insecure in those early days, it's caused by one thing, and that's fear. The only reason people don't make decisions is fear. And if you don't say you're afraid, then you're not being real, you're a liar.
You are unsuccessful, overweight, broke, sad, depressed because of your excuses. And until you cut them out, you will remain the individual that you do not love. You want to start loving yourself? Stop filling your mind full of. If you want to see success in your life, you've got to stop comparing your life to somebody else's. They might have had it easier than you, but nobody cares, and your goals definitely don't. You need to put the work in and find a path to success anyways, because just getting mad that they had it easier than you did is not going to get you to the end goal in the first place. It's time to wake up. It's time to take advantage of life's opportunities and step into your power. You guys just keep putting it off, and eventually you're just gonna die never taking action because you kept saying I was gonna try to wait for the right time. What kind of game are we playing right now? Ego is one of the main killers of success in this world, because a lot of you guys will not let go of the ego in order to level up into the individual you've always wanted to become. Close your mouth, open your ears, and listen. If you want to grow as an individual, you need to be yourself. If you want to grow as an individual, you need to be yourself. Stop trying to be like someone else to impress individuals that you don't even know. It's not going to get you anywhere. All it's going to do is make you resent the persona that you've put onto the world, and eventually you're going to burn out and crash, lose passion for the thing that you are currently pursuing, and give up on your dreams. I am a 28-year-old entrepreneur, all right, who makes multiple seven figures a year, owns a 20,000 square foot gym, has built and accumulated multiple seven figures, all right, and multiple massive audiences on social media. I live in a 5,000 square foot home with my beautiful wife and my beautiful 3-month-old baby boy. I drive a brand new 2021 Audi R8. So those are kind of little credentials, all right? The reason why I wanted to say this at the beginning is because I know there's going to be somebody who's like, you, bro, you have no idea what success is. I also think it's important to kind of give you a little bit of an insight into who I am. Maybe this is the first episode you are ever listening to. So you can then be like, you know what? Even though I don't really like this guy, he kind of has a point in what he's breaking down. So let's be open to his opinion. You need to make a decision at some point in your life. You're tired? Go to bed earlier. Stop. You're tired and that's why you can't work on your goals. All right, you're out of shape? Go to the gym or work out at home. Stop making excuses. You could literally sit down and bust out 100 push-ups in between watching your favorite TV show. I did it yesterday. Now again, I've been doing push-ups on a continual basis almost every single day. You guys will see other individuals see success and you'll be like, they have good genetics. They had a better childhood than me. They got lucky. They hit the lottery. They had help. They have a support system. Focus on what you can control. Focus on what you can control. The second biggest success-killing mistake that you guys are making on a continual basis is blaming external factors. I'm not successful because I didn't get lucky like them. I'm not successful because I just don't have the right genetics. I'm not successful because I didn't have a childhood like them. I'm not successful because I never hit lottery. I don't have a support system. Shut up. Stop blaming, all right, external factors. You will never get anywhere by blaming things that you cannot control. A lot of you are unsuccessful because you are blaming external factors. You are blaming other individual circumstances onto as of why you haven't been able to see the same results. When nobody and nothing cares, shut up, stop making excuses, and focus on what you can control. You guys want success in life, but you keep continuing to wait for the right time. I'm not ready yet. I need to wait until this date. I'm not ready yet. I'll get started next week. I'm not ready yet. I need to crunch some numbers and wait for 3 months from now. What are you waiting for? When are you going to feel ready? So many of you guys are unsuccessful because you keep putting off until tomorrow or till the day you die. Straight up. A lot of you guys just keep saying tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. And it's the reason why you've been unsuccessful for months, for years. When are you going to be ready? Stop playing this game. People come into the fitness industry, they want to become a fitness coach, and they try to act like Lane Norton. All right, so then they stand in front of the camera and they try to talk their knowledge. They try to display the knowledge that they have, and they honestly just sound like an idiot. Why? Because they don't understand the subject that they are trying to display. They don't understand the subject that they are trying to explain to that degree. Now, pause. I'm not saying they don't have knowledge. I'm just saying you need to talk within your own means.
Some of you are possessed by social media. It's no longer a servant. It is a master. Social media is a beautiful servant, but it is a terrible master. Can you surrender social media? Can you surrender your time? Can you surrender yourself? Can you surrender your mind? Can you surrender your will? Can you stop choosing what's killing you? If you're going to achieve it, if you're going to manifest, if you're going to do this thing, then you're going to need some stamina. Come on, come on. Believe it. Come on, you got to start speaking that stamina over your life, speaking that endurance over your life. Believe it, believe it. This is my time. Late nights, early mornings, sometimes no friends, sometimes no time with family. Sometimes you've got to downsize. You may have to live in your car. You may have to sleep on a bus. You may have to ride the train. I don't know what your sacrifice is. You just may have to give everything you have. But in the end, it'll be worth it. I need you to get out of your comfort zone. You can't be successful with the companion of comfort. Comfort and success cannot walk together. If you're going to be successful, if you're going to achieve it, if you're going to become it, you've got to break out of your comfort zone.
If I'm going to seek success, I've got to define what sacrifices I require in order to step into it. I cannot have it. I will not see it until I've counted up the cost. And here's the problem. You'll find yourself connected to 100 people that think they know what you should be doing to get where you're supposed to be. And so I've got to begin to shut the mouths of the people that don't know the cost, the price that I have to pay. You may have paid that, but I may not have to pay that price. I can learn from your mistakes. I don't have to fall down the same ditches you fell down. I don't have to flop down the same stairs you flopped down. That's your price. That's your cost. I've got another way. I've got a different mentality. I just may be a little bit more creative than you. I just may be a little bit more innovative. I just may have more faith than you. I don't have to fall like you fell. I don't have to hurt like you hurt. I can look up and get up.
You can't have the future. You will not be able to manifest if you're sleeping when the world sleeps.
If all you see is success, then you've missed the entire moment. Because it is the journey, it is the grit, it is the grind, it's the prayers that you pray, it's the tears that you've cried, it's the rejection that you've had to take on your back. When life pushed you down, when everybody said, you are not enough, when you told yourself, I quit because I can't finish, and you got back up the next day and kept going.
Boss up and admit that you are afraid. You are afraid to fulfill destiny. You are afraid to manifest. You are afraid to evolve. You are afraid to give it everything you have because you are afraid that people will reject you. You are afraid to change. You are afraid to move. Boss up and admit that you are afraid.
Michael Jordan has a $2 billion net worth. That's beautiful. But what was the cost for all of that? How did he win games? How did he win championships? How hard did he practice? How crazy was his faith? How many vacations did Michael Jordan have to turn down? How many parties did he have to walk out of? How many people had to be amputated out of his life? Everybody wants to celebrate the $2 billion evaluation of his enterprise, but it came at a cost. It came with some sleepless nights. It came with some long practices. It came with a lot of no's. No, I can't do the party. No, I'm not going to do the drinking. No, I'm not smoking that. No, I'm not touching that. No, I'm not connecting with them. No, I don't need that circle. No, it came with a lot of no's. It came with a lot of sacrifice. It comes with a lot of rejecting. It comes with a lot of awareness of what is not serving the vision. Had a temperature of over 100 degrees and won the game over the Jazz in 95, a champion. But he sacrificed comfort. He sacrificed convenience. He had to sacrifice and reject the voices in his head that said, you're crazy, you're sick, you need to rest, you need to sit down. Listen, you should work so hard that by the time you get home, you pass out sometimes.
You only have 24 hours in a day. You got to learn to manage the time that is given to you. And this sacrifice is required. This means that you can't binge watch your favorite television show every day. This means that you can't be on social media every day. This means that you can't do whatever you want all day and think you're going to manifest and become this person and achieve this feat. It's not going to happen. And so you've got to learn how to sacrifice your time. You got to sacrifice. When you want to sleep, you have to wake up. When you want to watch that movie, you got to read that book. If you want the future, gotta sacrifice your time. Where we spend our time is what we value most. And so if I'm spending my time watching TV, if I'm spending my time drinking that alcohol, if I'm spending that time smoking substances, if I'm spending that time kicking it with people that don't add any value to my life, partying my life away, I'm just going to be average. I'll never fulfill my destiny because I spent too much time doing things that don't add up. Destiny has an equation. Something plus something equals your destiny. And sacrifice is a part of the math equation. So you got to surrender your time.
If all you want is success, and that's all you see, you will not have it. The end game, the aim, the target is about consistently following a guideline.
That all those things improve the odds of success.
Okay.
Right. I mean, if other people are putting in 40-hour work weeks and you're putting in 100-hour work weeks, then even if you're doing the same thing, you know that you will achieve in 4 months what it takes them a year to achieve.
When I was a kid, I was wondering kind of what's the meaning of life? Like, why are we here? What's it all about? And I came to the conclusion that what really matters is trying to understand the right questions to ask. And the more that we can increase the scope and scale of human consciousness, the better we are able to ask these questions.
If somebody is doing something that is useful to the rest of society, I think that's a good thing. Like, it doesn't have to change the world. If you're doing something that has high value to people, I mean, I think that's fine. Like, stuff doesn't need to be changed the world just to be good. But, you know, in terms of things that I think are most likely to affect the future of humanity, I think AI is probably the single biggest item in the near term that's likely to affect humanity. So it's very important that we have the advent of AI in a good way. If you could look into the crystal ball and see the future, you would like that outcome, because it is something that could go wrong. As we've talked about many times, we really need to make sure it goes right. Working on AI and making sure it's a great future, that's the most important thing, I think, right now. Obviously, anything to do with genetics, if you can actually solve genetic diseases, prevent dementia or Alzheimer's or something like that with genetic reprogramming, that would be wonderful. So I think this genetics, it might be the sort of second most important item. I think having a high bandwidth interface to the brain, like we're currently bandwidth limited. We have a digital tertiary self in the form of our email capabilities, our computers, phones, applications. We're effectively superhuman. But we are extremely bandwidth constrained in that interface between the cortex and your sort of that tertiary digital form of yourself. And helping solve that bandwidth constraint would be, I think, very important for the future as well. On signal over noise, a lot of companies get confused. They spend money on things that don't actually make the product better. So, for example, at Tesla, we've never spent any money on advertising. We put all of the money into R&D and manufacturing and design to try to make the car as good as possible. I think that's the way to go. So for any given company, just can keep thinking about, are these efforts that people are expending, are they resulting in a better product or service? And if they're not, stop those efforts. You may have heard me say that it's good to think in terms of the physics approach of first principles, which is, rather than reasoning by analogy, you boil things down to the most fundamental truths you can imagine and you reason up from there. And this is a good way to figure out if something really makes sense or if it's just what everybody else is doing. It's hard to think that way. You can't think that way about everything. It takes a lot of effort. But if you're trying to do something new, it's the best way to think. And that framework was developed by physicists to figure out counterintuitive things, like quantum mechanics. So it's really a powerful, powerful method. You guys are the magicians of the 21st century. You know, don't let anything hold you back. Imagination is the limit. Go out there and create some magic.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.